Okay, so over the past 2 years, this ministry and myself personally, my husband and I have experienced a lot of different financial miracles. We've had a $21,000 miracle, a an $80,000 miracle, a $100,000 miracle, a $32,000 miracle, and a $250,000 miracle. Yes. Isn't that awesome? Right. So today, what I'm going to teach you is just the things that God taught me that enabled us to be in the right position to receive those kind of financial increases. I'm just giving you stuff that God downloaded to me from the Word of God and showed me through revelation from the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ about the different things that we could do to be able to be in the right place, doing the right things according to His will to cause a release of heavenly resources into our lives. So I'm just showing you stuff and teaching you stuff that I myself have done, and it works. Hallelujah. Are you game for that? Okay. This morning, I'm going to start with one of the very first tools the Lord showed me that began to cause us to have financial increase. Okay. That tool was the glory. All right. I want to start by laying a scriptural foundation. This is from Philippians 4:19. It says this, "And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Okay, in this time of national famine, we need to know what the word says about the Lord's provisions for us. In this scripture in Philippians, there's an awesome promise from God that God will supply our every need, that he will fill it to the full according to his riches in glory. Now, first, I want to clarify something. Is that scripture, the word riches in that scripture, actually talking about financial increase? Or is it just talking about spiritual enablements and increase? Okay, that word riches there is in the Greek a word called plutos. And it actually means this, quote, riches, wealth, and an abundance of external possessions. Okay, so this scripture is not just talking about spiritual enablements. It's literally talking about riches, wealth, and an abundance of external possessions. Check that out. What is that? An abundance of external possessions. It's the stuff that you need to live. An abundance of external possessions, the stuff you need for your kids, for your home, for your business, for your car. It's an abundance of spiritual possessions. God has that stored up for you in glory in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, where did that supply in glory come from? It came from the work that Jesus did on the cross. Okay? I want you to listen to it again. It says that God will liberally supply our every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, the reason why there is a storehouse in glory full of wealth and an abundance of external possessions is because of the work Jesus did on the cross. Okay, in Revelations 5, it says that when Jesus ascended into heaven after he did his work on Calvary, that tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of angels sang him the following song. Listen to what it says in verse 12. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." Those are the things that Jesus received upon his arrival in heaven from his work on Calvary. They were the part of the inheritance that he won from his sacrifice on the cross. Now, he received all the stuff that you'd expect him to receive, right? The glory, the honor, the strength, the power, and the blessings. But in the midst of those words we hear grouped together so often is the word riches. That word riches, it's the exact same word that's used in Philippians 4:19. That means riches, wealth, and an abundance of external possessions. Wow. You know, Jesus has died for everything. Jesus has died for your salvation, for your reconciliation with God, for your healing, for your soul, for your body, for your children, for your business, for everything. But he's also died for your abundance of external possessions. He even died for your stuff. Whoa. Wow. You would think that would be the last thing on the list, huh? But he died for our stuff, the things that we need to live the abundant life that he said that he was going to come to bring us. Amen? Whoa. And here's the thing. That was the inheritance, right, that he got from his work on the cross. And because Romans 8:17 says that we are, quote, fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him, That means that we have a legal right to everything Jesus won for us. All the riches and glory that are stored up, we have a legal right. We're on the bank account. It's a joint bank account in heaven, and our names are on it. Amen? Okay, so every bit of wealth we need to be filled to the full in every area is stored up in glory. Here's my question. How do we get it down here? Come on. How many of you have not thought that? How many of you, when you heard that fantastic promise in Philippians 4:19 about the riches and glory in Christ Jesus, thought, hey, that's amazing, but how do I actually have it come here? I need to touch it. I need to see it. I need to be able to grab it and have it manifest in the natural so that I can spend it and I can use it. Not only just spend it, but use it for the kingdom, for the things that God has called me to do. How do I get it down here? Because face it, if you had a bank account right now with $1 billion in it, but you didn't have the account numbers that you needed to make the withdrawal, that money would be useless towards you, right? Absolutely useless. When I heard that scripture, I thought the same thing. I thought, man, okay, riches and glory, yeah, but I need it down here. So how does that happen? You know, the thing I hate the most is when people tell me something super cool and supernatural, but they don't tell me how to do it. Doesn't that irritate you? I like to know the mechanics behind things. It's like, I heard the angels came, and I heard you went up into heaven and all that stuff, but how do you do it? Today, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to show you how to bring the riches that are stored up in glory in Christ Jesus down here to earth in a tangible way where they can manifest, you can touch them, you can use them, you can operate with them, you can use them to have the abundant life Jesus came to bring you, and you can use them for the kingdom. Tangible manifestation of the wealth and the riches that are stored up in glory. Are you ready? Okay, so the first thing we need to understand as we learn how to cause the things of the invisible realm to manifest here into the visible realm, is we need to learn where those riches are stored. The scripture says that they are stored up in glory, right? So I'm going to teach you a couple things about the glory, just some basic foundations so that you can understand where your riches are stored. Okay, what is the glory? Revelation 15 says the sanctuary is filled with the smoke from the glory, the radiance and the splendor of God, and from his might and from his power. Revelation 15. The glory is the presence of God. It's all he is. It's his radiance. It's his splendor. It's his power and his might. Now, because the glory contains everything in it that's inside God, it also contains the power to create. Why? Because God was first a creator. Remember, the glory is everything God is, so that means it includes creative power inside of it, because God is a creator, right? The glory has the power to create, okay? I want you to listen to this scripture in Genesis 1, and you're going to see how God used the system of his own glory and the spoken word to create everything we see in the universe, okay? It says this, verse 1, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, and fashioned and created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. And the Spirit of God, or the glory, was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, David Herzog teaches on this, that God did not start creating the entire universe until after his glory was first present and moving. Once the glory was present, God knew he had what? Creative power, right? So then he began to speak into that glory. He said, let there be light. And bang, there was light. There is creative power in the glory. Now, when I first heard that teaching, I was like, you know, I'm the kind of person where I want to see it work, okay? So you tell me something, I'm going to go after it until I see whether or not it actually will manifest something. So I decided I was going to learn how to create new skin in the glory. My legs are covered with these big brown spots. It's from the years and 20 years plus that I did of major, major drug abuse. So I decided I'm going to create new skin on my legs in the presence of the glory by speaking into the glory cloud. So I was in a meeting. Worship was going on. And as I was worshiping, I was contending for the presence. What does that mean? I was keeping my mind focused on God. Every time I get distracted, I turn my thoughts back to him. And then I get distracted again, and I turn back to him. I kept on contending to focus on God and not myself or anything else, just only him. And as I pressed into that and offered that sacrifice of praise, I began to feel the atmosphere shift. And I can tell when the glory has arrived because a lot of different things happen. And one of the things that happened was my mind got quieter. You can always tell when glory is there because your mind isn't going, okay? Your mind gets quiet in the presence of the glory. So my mind got quieter. And I also felt a physical manifestation of the glory. I started to feel tingling on my skin. Almost like when you go outside and you get out in the sun. And the sun starts like giving you a little rays, maybe a little burn, and how your skin tingles like that. That's how it felt for me. And so I knew that the glory was present. So I waited until that moment when I knew glory was present. I began to do what God did when he created the world. I began to speak into that glory. I began to say, I command new skin to grow without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Right now, in the glory, new skin. And then I just kept on worshiping. Well, I actually forgot I did it. And then I went home that night, got into the shower, and I was going to shave my legs. And as I went to shave my legs, there it was. Brand new patch of pure white skin right in the middle of the sea of brown spots without spot or wrinkle in it. Amen. Been created in glory. Hallelujah. Yes. And then like a month later, I'm at home and I decide I'm going to do it again. Amen. I love experimentation. Yay, God. It proves the word. Amen. So I'm home and I'm doing the same thing. I got the music on. I'm totally focused in on God. I'm worshiping. I'm keeping my mind directed at him. Whenever it would just be distracted, I'd bring it back. I'm contending to just honor him with my focus and my worship and my praise. And then I felt it again. I felt my mind getting quieter. I felt the tangible burning manifestation of the glory. And I began to speak in the presence of that glory cloud. I said it again. I command new skin to grow without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Into the glory cloud right now, in Jesus' name. And then right then, I had to like, whoa, looked at the clock, got to go, shut off the worship music, jumped in the shower, and sure enough, right next to the first spot, another spot of pure white skin, amen, had been created in the glory. Hallelujah. Yes, the glory works. In Genesis, this is the way the Father created everything we see in the universe. Whoa. Think about that for 1 minute. Whoa. And guess what? God is still using the same tools of the glory cloud and the spoken word to create today. Okay? How do I know? I want you to check this out. Remember what we read in Revelation 15? It said that the sanctuary is filled with the glory, right? From the smoke, from the radiance of God's splendor. So the sanctuary up in heaven is totally filled with glory. It's like glory is the atmosphere of heaven just like air is the atmosphere of earth, okay? Now, in Revelation 1, it says that the Apostle John took a trip to heaven, right? Remember that? And listen to what he says. Listen to how he records this encounter. He says this, I was wrapped in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice like the calling of a war trumpet. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And from his mouth there came forth a sharp two-edged sword. So John goes up into heaven, and he sees the Lord standing in the midst of this glory cloud that's in heaven, and a double two-edged sword is coming out of his mouth. What does that sword represent? Well, Hebrews 4:12 says that the sword is the, quote, word that God speaks. You see that right now? God and the Son, Father and Son are up in heaven, and they're speaking into the presence of the cloud. Every time you get a miracle, every time you get a revelation, every time something happens for you that's supernatural, an increase of some time, an angelic visitation, something that happens with your family, so a healing takes place, it's happening because God is up in heaven where it's saturated by the glory, speaking. The sword is coming out of his mouth, and he's speaking into the cloud, creating, creating, creating. That's how it's done. I just told you the mechanics. Do you understand how important that is to have that revelation? Yes? Okay. Yes. Amen. Yes. I love that.